the cross and the redemption it brings. We are going to look at the basis of redemption. Secondly, the reach of redemption. Thirdly, the price of redemption. Fourthly, the purpose of redemption. Fifthly, the fruitage of redemption. Now, I would like you to see how clearly the basis of redemption is revealed in Revelation chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10. Worthy art thou, for thou wast slain, in the King James version of it. Now, the basis of redemption primarily is the worthiness of Christ as expressed in his death. You see, Christ was worthy as a man. He was without fault. He was perfect in every feature of his character. Christ was also worthy as a preacher. Never man spake like this man, the Bible says. Christ was worthy as a miracle worker. The storm on Lake Galilee was subject to him, and the Bible teaches that disease fled at the touch of his hand and his word. Also, the Bible teaches the very demons were obedient to him. He willed and it was done. From this we see that the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ stands above all other men as God's ideal of perfect character. So that when we hear through the open heavens at his baptism and again on the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We have there, beloved people, God's pronouncement as to what perfection means. But redemption does not depend upon the mere perfection of the character of Jesus Christ. Of course, that is essential. The Lamb of God must be without blemish. But neither does it depend on the teaching of Christ. For that matter, even the life of Christ here on earth, however noble. The Bible says, "Worthy art thou, for thou wast slain." And the worthiness that brings redemption is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And next week, as we follow the study through with the cross in the remission of sins that it ensures, we're going to learn something of the significance of this sacrifice on Calvary's cross. The Bible says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." It is worthy is the Lamb that was slain, not the child that was born in the manger, though that child was worthy. Not the miracle worker by the Galilean Sea or by the grave of Lazarus, but worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Indeed, it is beholding Christ as he is with the marks of the cross upon his person. And it is that, beloved people, that transforms us into his likeness. So the first thing tonight I want to teach you from the Word of God is this, that the basis of our redemption is the worthiness of Christ as revealed in the cross. And until we know these great deep biblical truths, we cannot lead a person to Christ, because we don't know the Christ of Calvary. But there's not only the basis of redemption, there is the reach of redemption. And the Bible clearly teaches the reach of redemption when it says, "And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And even there in one verse of Scripture is the reach of the redemption that goes beyond this place or any other place for that matter. And it goes to every kindred and every tongue. To put it in simple terms, the whole sweep of humanity is within the reach of this redemption. In the 7th chapter of the book of the Revelation, we have a summary of the inhabitants of heaven. That is, the tribes and nations that have come up to heaven, redeemed by the blood of Christ. And that's why heaven will be wonderful. It will be like an assembly of all nationalities. You know, the former barbarians and even the civilized, touched by the blood of Christ and transformed, will be there. They'll all be there. those who have been redeemed in the precious blood of Christ. But there's not only the reach of redemption, there is the price of redemption. You see, God himself has told us the price of redemption. The Bible says, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, in whom we have redemption, through his blood. I don't know whether I've ever told you, I probably have, about the big church in Sydney that invited me to preach, and I preached one night on the blood. When I got to the door, one of the men said, we'll never invite you back here. I said, you're 30 seconds too late. God told me never to go back, because that church did not believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know there are very few preachers who preach on the blood of Christ? The Bible says, in whom we have redemption, through his blood. Now let us think about this price of redemption for a while. Christ redeemed us by giving up heaven and his association with holy angels and with his Father for a little while. And he came down to earth in humiliation. The nearest thing I've seen to that is the most brilliant surgeon who became very wealthy, but also became an alcoholic and lost everything and went to the gutter. And in the gutter found the key to life, and through Alcoholic Anonymous was restored. But when he went to the gutter, it was for him humiliation. When Christ was born in that Bethlehem manger, it was for him humiliation. See, the Bible teaches that we are redeemed by nothing short of the blood of Christ. And that blood that was going to be shed on the cross of Calvary was in the tiny veins of the babe in the manger. Was there. It was heaven provided. Oh yes, it is the blood of Christ that redeems us. Let us not for one moment fool ourselves tonight that we may get salvation by simply accepting Christ as a perfect character, or as a teacher, or as one who would instruct us, or as one who will inspire us. No, beloved people, 1,000 times no. It is only through the blood that we are redeemed. There is no language that can tell its deepest meaning. There is no philosophy that can explain it. There is no pathologist who can understand it except by faith. And the biblical expressions have more in them than we can ever get out of them. Redeemed unto God. What a tremendous thing for sinful humanity. Purchased by the blood of Christ. I didn't understand anything of the Bible when I got saved. I didn't understand any theology. And I went to college for 8 years and I still don't understand any. But I remember those godly men that surrounded me and they prayed with me. And I heard those great prayers that were offered to God. And I remember dear old Dan Murray, who was my father in the faith, a Scotchman who came from Stirling, just outside of Glasgow. And I can remember Dan crying to God in prayer, offering praise to God and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you that he's been redeemed in the blood. I've never forgotten those praises. And I remember Dan, before he went home to be with the Lord, praying, Lord, send him to Scotland. I can remember the day of prayer that we had. He kept on praying all day, Lord, send him to Bonnie Scotland. The Lord took me to Bonnie Scotland to preach the gospel. And Dan lived till I returned from Scotland, and I saw him on my return, and 1 week later, he went home to be with the Lord. Oh yes, those great men of God would pray about being redeemed in the blood. They would pray about being washed in the blood. But now the sight of blood, even when we prick our fingers, almost causes some Christians to keel over. But you know, the blood of Christ has a sacred meaning, and it should have a sacred meaning to all who are born of God, because for the redeemed, Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Let us pause now and have a look at the purpose of redemption. The Bible says, hast redeemed us to God. Now, the purpose of redemption is in that little phrase, unto God. Not unto religion, not unto denominationalism, not unto humanity, not unto your family. When we are redeemed unto God. And I believe that's the message that is missing today from many of our churches. The price and purpose of redemption was to redeem us unto God. We have become a member of the royal family of God. And every Christian is royal in his nature. And she or he is one who has become a partaker of the divine nature of God. The Bible also clearly teaches that every Christian is a priest unto God. We talk in evangelical circles about the priesthood of all believers, but that's about all we ever do is talk about it. I doubt if people who talk about it understand what it really means. But we are redeemed unto God to be a priest unto God. To be loyal to Christ and his church. You see, the Bible says that Christians are a kingdom of priests. And also the Bible teaches that Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he is the Lord Christ as the high priest of all. And in him is the preeminence. In simple language, the purpose of redemption is that we serve Christ with the utmost loyalty. We are not redeemed to become betrayers. We are not redeemed to become Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was never redeemed. But Peter was. And yet Peter betrayed Christ, but was restored through repentance. Oh yes, there is the purpose of redemption. We are redeemed unto God. And I can't think of anything more beautiful than that. Let us now look at the fruits of redemption. The Bible teaches in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, a very, very interesting phrase indeed. Handed down from your fathers is the phrase. Redeemed from your vain manner of life. Handed down from your fathers. What I'd like to say here is this. The power of heredity can hardly be overestimated. The manner of life handed down is often reproduced in the character of the children. There are the exceptions, but they are in the minority. If the character of Jesus Christ has been handed down, then the character of Jesus Christ will go on, generation after generation. Because as you hand Jesus Christ down, you will lead that person to whom you are handing him down to a personal, intimate, vital relationship with him. Someone has said that badness runs in the blood and seems to transmit itself into many expressions of each personality when we talk about human beings. But the writer goes on to say, on the other hand, all that is associated with the Lord Christ has been handed down through the blood. Or as Paul puts it in Ephesians 1, verse 7 and 8, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Now, trespass here is a very interesting Greek word. It means to fall beside or to fall by the way. Now, the Bible teaches that we receive through the blood of Christ the forgiveness of sin. Sin, of course, means missing the mark. Sin, of course, is a transgression of law. Now, after you have been saved from sin, you are in danger of falling by the way. You are in danger of backsliding. You will go in reverse. And the devil watches for every opportunity to pull you down. But the Bible teaches clearly that you can have the fruitage of equipment for service. Ephesians says redemption through his blood according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. No Christian has the right to say, I cannot do this because I have not the wisdom I ought to have for it. Beloved people, wisdom is a part of redemption, to make the very wisdom of God abound through you according to the riches of his grace, And if you come to Christ with a sincere heart and ask for the equipment of wisdom and prudence, you will receive it. Now, it's when we begin to understand these great doctrinal truths that the Bible comes alive. And what is said here in the Bible is available for every redeemed man and woman and young person. I remember in 1961, I shall never forget this moment the longest day I live. I'd been saved a little while. I was going to a well-meaning church, lovely people. And I was illiterate. I didn't speak like I speak now. I couldn't even put two words together. I had a bad speech impediment. And in the May of 1961, I'll never, ever forget God's call to the ministry. And I shared it with the pastor. And he was a very understanding man of God. And I can still see the tears stream down the cheeks of Dan when he said, Oh, Ron, he said, it is a high calling. But when the news got out amongst the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, there were a lot of people who were sad, you see. And I can remember so many comments being made. One dear lady in the church, I can remember her, and this is not being disrespectful. She said with a note of snobbery, he's not ministerial material. She came and apologized before she went home to be with the Lord. I don't know whether she wanted to square it up with me down here, but she knew she'd have to square it up there. And I can remember some very well-meaning businessmen saying to the pastor, but he doesn't even walk straight. Well, I've been an Alfie for a long time, and an Alfie walks crooked. I might have walked crooked, but boy, I was straight on the inside. And by the time the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees had finished, I was beginning to wonder whether I'd walked into a religious club where Christ didn't reside. Oh my, many people have said, I would try to win a soul to Christ if I knew how. Well, the Bible teaches that he that winneth souls is wise. And if you will come to God for the abundance of his wisdom, his promise is that in redemption, according to the riches of his grace, he will make wisdom to abound to you, toward you. And every Christian can and should be a soul winner if he or she will take the advantages of God's riches of wisdom in redemption. Now, can I say this to you in the spirit of love? A number of you talk about evangelism. You talk about what we should do. But you're not doing it because you know nothing of the wisdom of the Heavenly Father. You see, what we need to know as Christians is that in redemption we have a glorious, victorious experience. Do you know, if I drop dead in this pulpit, I'll say hallelujah, amen, on the way to heaven. But boy, I'd drop dead if I communicate to you people here at Upper Mount Gravatt that you can be free in Christ. You can be delivered from bondage by completely being obedient to the Word of God. I love what our Lord said when he called Lazarus forth. Lazarus was alive and he still had the grave clothes around him. And he says to the people there, untie him, unbound him, let him loose, let him go. You see, the Bible clearly teaches in Revelation 5:10, they reign upon the earth. It does not say, beloved people, they shall reign upon the earth. It says, and it is in the imperative, they reign upon the earth. They reign now. That is, those who have entered upon the abundance of his grace through redemption by the precious blood need not be defeated. They are kings and priests now over the devil, over the flesh, over the world, over sin, over trespasses, and leading a victorious life. Of course, this does not eradicate sin from the nature or from the world. But it does mean this, that we have mastery over sin through the power of God, through the power of the blood. And if we are defeated, it is because we have not linked ourselves and kept ourselves linked by living faith with the eternal King. You see, the need of this community, the need of the world, and your individual need is redemption through the blood of Christ. Have you been so redeemed? Or did someone preach a gospel and tell you to come to Jesus, receive Jesus into your life, and you'll become a Christian? Well, you might have received the wrong Jesus. You might have received the black Jesus. When you came to Christ, were you redeemed through the blood of Christ? Next Sunday night, I'm going to teach you a great biblical truth, and it is this. You cannot accept the living Christ until you have accepted the sacrificial Christ. Next Sunday night, we're going to go back into Leviticus and through the teaching of the goats and the one that was sacrificed and the one that carried away the sins into the wilderness. And how that was brought across to the New Testament to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I want to say to you tonight lovingly that there's every possibility that you're not a born of God Christian if you haven't been redeemed through the blood. And I want to pray tonight that God will help you to accept this great truth and to rejoice in the consciousness that you are and can be redeemed through the blood of Christ. And when you are redeemed through the blood of Christ, you will not willfully walk away from Him. You cannot and you will not. But if you have been redeemed to the Jesus of history, to the Jesus of religion, you will end up in hell. I'm going to pray in a moment. We're going to sing an invitation hymn tonight, and I extend in the name of Christ, Jesus, the Lord, who came in the flesh, the biblical invitation to you that you can be redeemed tonight in the blood of Christ. Maybe you're not truly saved. Maybe you're not saved at all. And right now, the Holy Spirit has revealed that truth to you. The Spirit of God is going to do His own work in a moment, and He's going to glorify Christ. If you want to respond publicly, do so. We'll give you some material. We'll counsel with you. We'll make sure in the counseling that you're redeemed in the blood. May we pray. Father, we thank you that your holy presence is here. Thank you tonight for teaching us clearly from your word. And now, blessed Holy Spirit, as you search the hearts, as you bring conviction of sin, we know that you will want to glorify Christ in our midst tonight. Do that for the glory of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. The Lord knows exactly where you are right now, and you know where you are. And should it be this very night that the Spirit of God says, acknowledge Christ of Calvary. Come and be redeemed in the blood of the Lamb. Don't hesitate. Just get out into the aisle and say, I'm coming publicly. I want to be prayed with and prayed for. I want to really put this issue right. The hymn 71 says, I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. I wished I could sing. If I could sing with the volume of voice I have, I would love to break every window in this building for the glory of Christ. But you can sing, and I know you will sing it. And then as the Spirit does His work, those of you who must come to Jesus Christ, you come to be redeemed in the blood of the Lamb.
Heavenly Father, you have given us a feast tonight from your word and by your spirit. Oh God, we just reach out to you and say thank you. Now may your grace and your mercy and your peace abide with us now and always. Amen.
Five minutes.